Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you end the hustle, define success on your own terms, and build a profitable, sustainable business doing more of what you love and less of what you don't. I'm so excited you're here with me today. Let's get started. So welcome to our first bonus episode of Creative Freedom. I'm actually in Nashville. It's just a couple days before Christmas. By the time you guys get this, it'll be Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Season's Greetings, and all that yummy stuff. What I wanted to do between now and when Season 6 of Creative Freedom drops is share a bunch of bonus episodes that are really lessons that I've learned over the last 25 years of being a creative entrepreneur. And it's been settling in on me over the last few months that, dang girl, you've been doing this for 25 years, actually, it'll be almost 26 years here shortly. I built one of the first ever e-commerce websites back in 1994. You can still find the links if you go back to the Internet Archive and you go into the Wayback Machine, you can still find copies of the old websites that I built. But back then, you know, I mean, a lot has changed online in the 25, 26 years that I have been an online entrepreneur, a creative entrepreneur working in the online arena. And that's what I want these bonus lessons to be about. They're very unscripted, you guys. I'm just going to be talking kind of off the cuff. Most of my episodes, I'm running with some kind of a script so that I don't go deep in the weeds, but particularly because we're traveling and also because I want these to be as real and honest and raw as possible. There's no script. The script is out the window, and we're just having a conversation, entrepreneur to entrepreneur, about what it's been like for the last 25 years for me to build a business doing what I love in the face of unsupportive spouse, family that doesn't understand, people who don't get it. What is this newfangled internet thing you're talking about? How do you actually make money on it? And a lot of that has evolved, obviously, in 25 years. When I was first getting online in the 90s, the internet had been around, but the World Wide Web, and we use those words synonymously now, but the World Wide Web was still pretty newfangled. I remember when animated GIFs first made the scene, and it would take 5 to 10 minutes for an animated GIF to load. And then you'd watch it, you know, do its little spinny, flashy, blinky thing. And you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's the coolest thing ever. And now animated GIFs are everywhere. And they're basically videos that have been converted into an image format. And so it's really interesting for me as someone who's pretty much lived her entire career as an online entrepreneur of some sort, to see how far we've come. I mean, some people are like, what are you talking about? The World Wide Web has always been around. No, no, it hasn't. This is totally an evolution that happened as I was becoming an adult, and I've just stayed with it for, you know, more than 2 decades now. And there's a lot of things that I think we take for granted, and a lot of things that I think we don't know as creative entrepreneurs, as online entrepreneurs. And so that's what this series of bonus content is really meant to be about, is to open your eyes to some things where you're probably going, oh my gosh, I thought it was just me. Or, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that that was a thing. And help you get clarity around what it really takes to build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love as a creative entrepreneur. And so I want to pop two things off right off at the top. When I talk about profitable, and I've said this before on other shows, but I really want to drive this point home. Profitable isn't just the money that you get back from the money that you put in. Yes, that's an important definition of profit, but the definition that I run with is about the total return on your resources, all of your resources. So we're talking about time, energy, money, effort, attention. All of those things are valuable commodities for you as a human being, but as a creative entrepreneur in particular, because of the opportunity costs that we're faced with. Every day we have to choose, do I do this thing and put my energy, put my spoons into doing this? Do I put my money into doing this? Because if I do it this way, that means I won't have the resources to be able to do it a different way. And that's a very serious, important consideration. One of the most important considerations that you make as a creative entrepreneur is deciding. Those opportunity costs are critical. And that's one of the reasons why, especially as a fusion creative, you're like, oh my gosh, what if I pick wrong? Well, good news, fusion creatives, you can't pick wrong as long as you stay the course on whatever you pick. Now, I'm talking specifically to fusion creatives because one of the things that I know about fusion creatives, because I am one, is that we are good at a lot of different things. And because we're good at a lot of different things, that makes it hard for us to quote unquote pick one thing and stick with one thing for a very long time. We get bored, we get distracted, we want to be doing something else because, not because necessarily even because we're bored, although that does happen, but we want to do something else because we feel like we're only using a portion of our abilities. We're not being seen for who we really are and in all of our facets and all of the different things that we are capable of doing. And that's why we tend to want to do lots of different things and get our hands into lots of different pies. It's not even out of a state of desperation of, dear God, just let something work, right? That tends to be more the chaotic attitude. Let me throw spaghetti on the walls until I find something that sticks. So I'm doing a lot of things that way. But as a fusion creative, we're doing lots of different things because that's how we hold our attention, is by doing lots of different things. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm sitting here recording this episode 2 days before Christmas. Everybody's in the other room watching the football game. And I'm like, I do not want to sit on a couch for 4 hours and watch football when I could be having a conversation with you. So that's why I'm sitting here in the bedroom at my soon-to-be in-laws' house recording a podcast for you. So enjoy. So there's this piece of us that has to be doing multiple things. And as I look back over the 25 years that I've been online, and as I look forward to the next 25 years, I am very clear that I still won't be doing one thing. I haven't been doing one thing, except for the fact that the big overarching umbrella has been I've been online. But in 25 years, I've run a business that sells reproductions of art and ancient artifacts. I've run a company that sells essential oils and flavor oils for cooking. I have been involved in multiple direct selling companies, something like 15 of them over the course of 25 years. And several of them I got into because I wanted to see if my business approach would work for any direct selling business. And that's how Home Party Solution and all of my direct sales training took off. And I became a coach. And that was 2007, I believe. So I've been doing that for 13 years. So I've been a coach all these years and specifically started in direct selling, but then direct selling evolved. And from that evolution, I started working with mom entrepreneurs. And from there, I opened up to creative entrepreneurs across the spectrum. And that's how I found the creative entrepreneur spectrum, the types for the creative entrepreneur spectrum. And that's the nomenclature. And that's the language that I'm using now. We're talking about chaotics and linears and the cusp types and fusion creatives. And all of that was born out of decades of working with people in all kinds of arenas. I worked with accountants and actors and musicians. I've worked with artists. I've worked with authors. I've worked with doctors. I've worked with healers and mom and pops and multi-million dollar companies and everything in between. Like, that is the breadth and depth of experience that I've had over the last 25 years. And all of that, with one hand in one pie and one hand in another, informed the direction that my business has continued to move in and shaped all of the work that I'm doing now. And I'm still a creative entrepreneur in that I'm writing books, I'm performing on stages. I just did this show for Disney Plus. So I'm on international television now as a reality show star, and I use that term very loosely, but it's true, so I'm using it. You know, I've had so many myriad of opportunities show up for me, things that I never could have expected, because as a fusion creative, we have to keep our container open. And one of the ways that I talk about being a fusion creative is I talk about the band, the Eagles. Now, the Eagles is a super group made up of artists who are all incredibly talented in their own right. And then they all come together to perform as a band. And here's the thing, they can't all sing lead at the same time. Somebody's going to sing lead on one song, and then they play backup while the next guy sings. And that is really what the life of a fusion creative is. We don't just do one thing. We focus on one thing for a while, and then we turn our attention to the next thing that's calling us. And that doesn't mean we leave the other thing behind. We come back to it. And we pick it up again. I released an album a couple years ago. I'm working on album number 4 right now. I'm also writing a book. And when it's ready to be done, whichever one's ready to be done first will be the one that I bring to the world. And in the meantime, I work with my clients in the incubator, in A Club, and now with this new program, the Creative Freedom Apprenticeship that we've put together. And one of the reasons that I developed this program is because of these conversations that I'm having with you. I realized after 25 years, that creative entrepreneurs are coming to me with this patchwork quilt of knowledge. They have some know-how when it comes to business, and then there are other things that they have no idea about. They don't even know that they don't know it because it's not in their realm. Like, they've been doing their thing for however long they've been doing it. Maybe they're brand new at it. Maybe they've been struggling and limping along for a while, years even. I've had clients who've been at this for 9 or 10 years and haven't really made a profit, and they're ready to just bag it. And I'm like, oh, well, let's make some tweaks here and here and we can make this profitable for you. And lo and behold, now they're making money and they're like, oh, I didn't know what I didn't know. So we developed the Creative Freedom Apprenticeship to help shore up those holes so that you're not walking around with things that you don't know when it comes to building a profitable, sustainable business. So profitable is the return on all of your resources, the time, the energy, the money, the effort, the attention. Some of it you're putting in, sometimes it's your team members putting it in, but it's an investment into the health and well-being of the business. And then what's coming out on the other side of that? Now, the other piece of this equation is sustainable. Sustainable, I don't necessarily mean green and ecologically sound, although that can be part of it. When I say sustainable, I mean, is this something that you can sustain for the long term? For example, I can't tell you the number of people that I have seen do 6 or 7 figures in a year and then burn themselves out and not do anything for 2 or 3 years or 9 or 10 months because they're trying to recover and heal their bodies from whatever kind of stress and fatigue and burnout they've put themselves through. Now, for some people, that's totally worth it to them. I'm more than willing to, you know, hustle for 7 months, make $1 million, and then sit back for a year while I let my body recover. Others of us, that's not a sustainable platform. That's not a sustainable way to be doing business. And so it's a much more slow, steady progression of building a business and sticking with it for the long haul. And if you can't work a standard job, you've got to find a way to make money. And that's why we're seeing so many people turn to entrepreneurship. And so many of those entrepreneurs are creative entrepreneurs. And they're not working a full-time career number of hours. They're not working 9-hour days, 10-hour days, because they can't. They're just not physically able to. It's not possible for them. And they've still got to be able to pay the bills, keep food on the table, you know, keep the rent paid and keep their families taken care of. So we're seeing this huge influx. And I got to tell you, right now, there's never been a better time. The barriers to entry in most creative careers are as low as they have ever been. Even the film industry, I mean, you can shoot a pretty good film on your iPhone now, according to Apple. I don't know, I'm not an iPhone girl. The barriers to entry in the film industry have really come down. So if that's the kind of project you want to take on, you got a much better chance of seeing it come to fruition now than you ever did before. But it's still got to be sustainable. You still got to be able to get up and go to work every day, whatever that looks like for you, you know, and most people can't sustain being on the hamster wheel of hustle all the time. And that's why, you know, I talk a lot about ending the hustle. And And I'm shifting my tone on that because I think there is a time and a place for compassionate hustle. I think sometimes you have to lean in a little bit harder and just see a project through. And if it means you get a little less sleep for a couple of days, then it's probably going to be worth it. And there's a reason why I'm saying compassionate hustle, because that compassion gives you the ability to go, I've pushed as far as I can and it's time for me to stop. I need to take a break. I need to get some sleep. I need to walk away. And all the judgment gets dropped, because that is huge. Like, one of the reasons that the hustle mentality is so prevalent is because of the sheer number of people who shame you for not hustling. Got to stay in your hustle. Got to stay in your grind. No, I don't. Just because you do doesn't mean it's right for me. And there are a lot of yeller, screamer people in the world who will tell you that that makes you not an entrepreneur. That makes you somebody who isn't serious. And I call bullshit on that. Because you can do what you can as you are able and still be very successful. I've been at this for 25 years. I am living proof that you can do what you love in a way that works for who you are without having to kill yourself, or as I say, sell your soul in order to do it. And that brings me to probably the biggest lesson that I have ever learned in my life as a creative entrepreneur. And that is the mindset is more important than the mechanics. Now, you're going to see me talking about these lessons that I have learned in various places over the next few months. And I'm starting here on the podcast. I've got a post going up on my blog. I've got a post going up on Charlie Gilkey's blog over at Productive Flourishing. I've even got a couple of interviews lined up to talk about what it's been like to watch so many online entrepreneurs come and go in 25 years. People get in trouble and leave the industry. People get called out, shamed out, driven out of the industry because they're unethical, because they're doing things that work for them that don't work for everybody else. And I don't mean that in a positive and empowering way. I mean, they're outright lying about what their products are capable of, and they're just being unethical. You don't have to be unethical to make money. You can make good money doing what you love, but you have to recognize that success is a personal definition. And that's another lesson that we will get into another day. But it all begins with what's going on between your ears. So the number one lesson that I've learned over the last 25 years is that your mindset is more important than the mechanics. And what I mean by that is, you may not know how to do something. You may not know where you're going to get the resources to be able to do something. You may not even know if a thing is possible. And yet, if you've got a mindset that says, I'm going to step into this and I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to be open to seeing what shows up, and I'm going to be willing to try things differently than I've ever tried them before, that other stuff gets figured out along the way. Marie Forleo's got a book called Everything is Figureoutable. And that mindset is a very powerful tool to have, especially when you're in the online world. 25 years ago, video was this, that would be really cool. How are we going to make that happen? Can we even do that? Now video is like every day. Everybody's shooting video all the time. Millions of minutes of video are getting uploaded every day. Billions of minutes are getting uploaded every day. But 25 years ago, video was like, we don't have the bandwidth. We don't know how to make that happen, but it sure would be cool. And now technology moves so rapidly that in the next 25 years, I mean, we used to joke about virtual reality markup language, VRML, V-R-M-L, and now virtual reality is a thing. You know, it's still on the fringes, it's still on the cutting edge of technology. It's not as mainstream every day as video is, but it's only a matter of time. So maybe you're ahead of your time when it comes to some of your ideas. That doesn't mean they're bad ideas. It just means you need to hang on to them. You know, set them aside, be willing to be open to see what comes up. But if you look at something and go, well, I don't know how to do it, so forget it. Well, you're going to stay stuck. If you go into building any kind of business, online or otherwise, with a closed mindset of, I already know all there is to know, and you're not going to be able to change my mind or persuade me otherwise, you're going to stay stuck. And that's why the mindset is more important than the mechanics. You can figure out the mechanics. I wrote about this in my book. I interviewed Dr. Huang, and he's like, the mindset, especially when you're going from zero to 5K a month, if you don't have the mindset of, I'm going to be able to figure this out, it only takes a little bit of time, I'm going to get there, I may not be moving as fast as everybody else, but I can figure this out, it's going to happen. If you don't have that mindset, every little thing is going to trip you up and make you miserable. And who wants to be miserable all the time? I sure don't. So if that's the case, then how do you start to think differently? How do you start to build a healthier mindset around the things that are coming up for you? Because I'm going to tell you, in 25 years, I've had a lot of ups and downs. And some of the downs were really painful, like crash and burn, dissolve my business, file bankruptcy, painful. That doesn't make me a failure. And I think that's the first piece that you have to recognize, is that failure is inherent in building a business. You are going to fail. You are going to get it wrong. You will never always be 100% right. And if you've been 100% right all this time, it just means your time's coming. It just hasn't come yet, right? Nobody is 100%. We are all fallible. We are all human. We are all imperfect. We are all going to get something wrong at some point. And so you have to prepare yourself for, when something goes wrong, here's how I'm going to respond. When I fail, when I don't hit a goal, here's how I'm going to respond. One of the biggest things that I see, especially for creatives who are starting from zero, is the sheer amount of pressure that they put on themselves to make this thing make money, whatever that thing is. Well, I've got to pay the bills. And if I can't pay the bills, I can't do this. Well, maybe you need to find something else to cover you while you start to work on this thing you want to do to get it to the point where it can pay the bills. Most people who are successful YouTube sensations did not set out to become successful YouTube sensations and make a ton of money from their channel. They started sharing stuff that they loved or were curious about or enjoyed or wanted other people to know about as a means of communicating, having dialogue, sharing their curiosities as a hobby. And it grew from there because they developed an audience that wanted more of what they were offering. And in the meantime, they were doing other stuff. Maybe they were just kids playing around, or maybe they were grownups with other jobs. And eventually, you know, a guy who's unboxing action figures and playing with them on YouTube now makes a living selling those same toys or referring people to a store that sells those toys on YouTube. But the mindset was, I'm just going to do this and see what happens. I'm not going to put the pressure on, because there's, when you get that much pressure, fear sets in and you start making decisions from a place of fear rather than a place of possibility. And fear-based decisions will kill your business before it even gets off the ground. If you're, every decision you're making is from a place of fear, oh my God, what if, I need, I gotta have, what'll happen if I don't? If you're making decisions from that place versus, this is the direction I'd like to go, this is how I see this helping the world, how can I make this possible? It's a completely different mindset. I was married to a very unsupportive guy. Nice guy. I still love him to this day. We're good friends. And he didn't understand what I was trying to do. He didn't have an interest in learning about what I was trying to do. He had no desire to be curious about what I was trying to do. And so every time I sat down to do work on the computer, there was a problem at home. It was problematic. And you can't thrive in an environment where no one believes in you, where no one has your back. So he was putting a lot of pressure on me to make this thing make money. And I remember when I had my first five-figure month, did, I don't know, $11,000 or $12,000. And I was super excited and he was excited and he just expected I was going to have five-figure months every month. And I said, well, that's not how this works. He's like, what do you mean? I said, this isn't a paycheck where I get the same amount of money every single month. I did a big launch. That's how I got this. And part of this money has to go back out to pay my affiliates. So I don't get to keep all of this money. Wait, what? He didn't understand and he didn't want to understand. So that kind of an environment makes it very difficult for you to thrive. And then you're judging yourself because you're hearing those voices in your head of those other people who are judging you. You have to let that stuff go. And it's not easy. And if you don't feel like you're in a safe space, then you're just compounding the problem. So there's a lot of moving parts and pieces in that. You know, there's a lot of little details that I talked about there. But the end result is, if your mindset isn't right, If you're operating from a place of fear, it's going to be really hard for you to grow. Not only because you're going to be making decisions that are probably going to be based on your limited knowledge and your limited resources at the time, but also because you're going to be living in this energy where you may or may not feel safe. And if you don't feel safe to explore your possibilities, you're not going to explore them, period. So you have to create a foundation of safety for yourself. And that all begins by what's going on between your ears. And that's why I say the mindset is more important than the mastery. The mindset is more important than the mechanics. If you're willing to say, I don't know anything, and I'm willing to figure it out, I'm willing to find it, I'm willing to try, that's going to put you leaps and bounds beyond everybody else. Because if you walk into a situation where you think you know the answer, and then you find out you're wrong, most of us are like, ooh, and we shut down. Instead of going, wow, I didn't know, I learned something new. That's awesome. How can I apply that to my business? Completely different attitudes. When I was in direct selling, one of the things that our leader loved to tell us was an idiot on fire is more effective than brains on ice. And while I don't necessarily like the way it was said, I understand the intention. Somebody who is enthusiastic, somebody who is excited, somebody who is willing and open and wants to share and wants to connect and wants to be engaged is way more effective in the marketplace than somebody who keeps it cool and knows everything. So you have to ask yourself, do you really know everything? But if you're struggling, if you're continuously struggling, check your mindset. Are you putting too much pressure on yourself to make this thing work right now? Are you putting too much pressure on yourself, too much judgment on yourself to make something happen? Have you done the work to know who your market is? Do you even know what you need to do that work? If you've got holes in your patchwork quilt of know-how, you can't begin to know what you don't know. And you have to shift your mindset to saying, I don't know. I'm very clear I don't know. And I'm willing to figure it out. I'm willing to ask for help. I'm willing to look for resources that are going to give me the information that I need and help me make the progress that I need in order to get to success as I define it. And that's the big piece. Success is personal and it's got to be your definition. And that's what I'm going to talk about in our next episode. So I want to thank you guys for joining me in this first in a series of special podcast episodes. Ooh, special, special bonus episodes, sharing the lessons that I've learned over the last 25 years as a creative entrepreneur. If you liked this episode and you want to be the first to hear more just like it, then I need you to share me around, subscribe, like it, leave comments, all that good stuff. Leave a review. You know what you need to do. And if you don't, reach out and tell me. I'll be glad to show you how. If you're not already a member of the Rising Tide, that's where I keep all of the free resources to help you build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love. From my Dream Blazing annual planning program, which I put all of my clients through, to the Find Your Audience program. There's a lot of training in there to help you get clear, and it doesn't cost a thing beyond your name and your email address. So go take advantage of those resources. Next time, we're going to spend a little bit of time digging into the whole idea of defining success on your own terms. And I will hope that you will join us then. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to. Merry Christmas!